And I've run out my half hour. It's now time for Fight the Empire. So do stay tuned to KBOO Portland, going out to you via 90.7 FM on our great big transmitter on the hill and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
With the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll host The Bail Trap on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. The Bail Trap features short films and speakers on bail fees in the United States. Money bail is one of the main causes of mass incarceration in the United States. Low-income Americans are sitting in jail for days, months, and even years simply because they cannot afford to pay high bail amounts. Films include Breaking Down, Deal with the Devil, How Much is Your Freedom Worth, and more. Again, that's The Bail Trap on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 9:31. Coming up next on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogren talks to investigative historian Gareth Porter about John Bolton's push for war with Iran.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fogren, Fight the Empire, and our guest will be Gareth Porter. We're getting him on the line right now. He's an investigative historian, which I think is a worthy and a much-needed occupation, because there's a lot of history that needs to be investigated these days, and we try and get into that when we can. But a lot of history gets ignored or glossed over or falsified. And so what we need is a little more real history, more truth. And Gareth Porter has been writing articles for a number of journals. The one we're going to talk about is is in Portside. It comes from Truth Dig, and the title of the article is Bolton is Spinning Israeli Intelligence to Push for War Against Iran. And so we only have him for 15 minutes, which I was hoping to do a whole show, because he also wrote another interesting article about the Mueller report and some of the things that failure of history there. So we are trying to get Gareth Porter on the line right now. But it's very interesting that in this article, he talks about the steps that John Bolton is taking, pushing for a war with Iran. And it's happening, it's sort of happening right now as he writes it, shortly after he wrote the article. The article was published on May 11th, and just the very next day was this supposed attack on oil tankers in the Persian Gulf. And it was also another... now, apparently, the attack on the tankers, there's no... no one has claimed responsibility, but we have Gareth Porter online right now. Gareth Porter, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much. Glad to be on.
Well, I was just saying to our audience that you are an investigative historian, which I think is a very much-needed occupation these days.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
And so I think I hardly need to ask, but what is John Bolton up to?
Well, you know, I think everybody knows that John Bolton is carrying out a scheme that is risking confrontation militarily with Iran. There's no question about that. The question is, why is he doing this? How did it start? Where does it come from? And I think what people need to understand that is not being at all touched on by the corporate media coverage of this crisis is that this began really before Bolton even entered the White House as National Security Advisor. It has to do with a secret U.S.-Israeli planning process that began in December 2017 when H.R. McMaster was National Security Advisor. There was a secret meeting on December 12th, if I remember the date correctly, of 2017 in the White House between McMaster and the Israeli National Security Advisor and their respective top national security officials in both administrations. And they reached an agreement that they would set up four planning groups having to do with making plans to oppose Iran, to counter Iran on ballistic missiles, on the nuclear program, on Iran's regional role. And the final one was the most important one of all in terms of what Bolton's up to, and that was a working group to make plans for escalation in the region with Iran, escalation of tensions or escalation militarily with Iran in the region. I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but that was the sense of it. So there have been a series of meetings of those working groups, and the most recent meeting was in mid-April in the White House again with John Bolton and again the Israeli National Security Advisor, and they reached an agreement that is reflected in Bolton's statement of May 5th, which clearly was adding new language to the threat of retaliation against any sort of an attack by Iran or its so-called proxies, not just against American targets, American-related targets, but any target related to a U.S. ally. So that is the essence of what we're seeing right now, the extension of the threat of retaliation in regard to anything that Iran or a so-called proxy might be accused of, to include anything that involves Israel or Saudi Arabia.
So the Saudi Arabia is an ally, and so one of the so-called proxies would be these Houthi rebels in Yemen.
Exactly, and that is an obvious flashpoint that certainly the Israelis and Bolton and his entire crew were extremely well aware of when they agreed to the joint plan with Israel to do this. And that suggests one of the scenarios that they were planning in the U.S.-Israeli joint planning group. So, but that's not the only one. You know, there are others as well. And I think, you know, what I think really needs to happen right now is that people in Congress who are not already in the pay of the Israeli lobby, and there are a few good people who are still who have that freedom of action, need to demand publicly, together as a group, need to demand publicly that the that Bolton, as the person who has been involved deeply in this, reveal to Congress the full record of discussions and joint agreements with the Israelis on what they plan to do with regard to Iran or proxies, and you know, what they promised the Israelis that they would do. I think that that would be the easiest and the swiftest and most effective way to lance the boil that we're seeing in the unfolding crisis of the last couple of weeks.
Well, we know that Bolton's been taking all these steps leading up to war. I understand that the Houthis have taken responsibility for the so-called supposed attack on an oil pipeline in Saudi Arabia. Has anyone taken taken the responsibility for these supposed attacks on tankers in the Persian Gulf. I think
No one has. No one has, to my knowledge. At least as far as I've been able to ascertain up until the time that I left this morning. And I would say that those so-called attacks, as sabotage attacks, have to be viewed with an extremely suspicious eye for all kinds of reasons, not the least of which is that it would not be in Iran's interest for any sort of an attack like that to take place. First of all, because all it does is cast suspicion on Iran. It doesn't accomplish anything for the Iranians. Mm-hmm. If they felt that it was necessary to try to discourage or to block traffic through the Persian Gulf or the Strait of Hormuz, let's say, they would have easily been able to do so by simply dropping some mines that would have created a crisis and probably increased the price of oil and stopped traffic for a period of at least some weeks. But of course, that hasn't happened. Now, I'm not saying it could never happen, but that would be the MO of the Iranians, contrary to Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, who claims that a sabotage attack attacking a so-called limpet mine to an oil tanker would be the Iranian MO. And secondly, you know, we know that this would be in the interests of the Israelis. And we know that Israel has very extremely competent, well-trained naval commandos who have carried out covert operations just like this, who could easily attach a limpet mine configured so as to simply cause minor damage rather than to sink a ship, which is what a limpet mine normally would be targeting a ship to do. So, you know, I have to say that I'm very suspicious of Israel as the primary suspect in those sabotage attacks, assuming that that's what it was.
Well, it's very interesting that these kind of attacks in the past have happened when the supposed perpetrator would be least likely to want to do something like that.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
I agree. Do you have any idea where is this going? I mean, Bolton has been claiming that there's an increased threat from Iran, but just the other day, a British general, Christopher Gieka, said that there is no increased threat from Iran. Go ahead.
The so-called intelligence that Bolton and company are claiming clearly is non-existent. There was no intelligence, and in fact, I have shown, and I'm showing again in a piece that I've just finished, we'll file today, that the so-called intelligence really reflects what the Israelis were telling the Americans at that secret meeting in mid-April. And by the way, the source for what I'm saying about those secret meetings is not some conspiracy theorist or anything of the sort. It's the top-ranking Israeli national security correspondent, Barak Ravid, who has very good sources within the Israeli government who have been tipping him off to what's going on with these secret meetings. And he has filed a series of reports over the last year and a half or 2 years that reflect the reality that I've been talking about.
Well, do you think that you mentioned there are some people in Congress who, you know, who might be to resist this push for war? I wonder if that will be enough. Now, Bernie Sanders apparently is talking more about, resisting war. And, of course, Tulsi Gabbard has been saying that for a while. But most of the Democratic candidates seem to be focused on other things besides war.
Yeah, I think we have to look to Tulsi Gabbard, Bernie Sanders, and one or two others in Congress, and really push them to take this on. I think that's really what's important right now. That would be the ticket for lancing the boil of this Bolton Israeli conspiracy.
Well, we only have you for 15 minutes. Is that correct? You have a,
that's right. Yes, I'm going to have to go.
Yeah, it's been really great having you here. We've been talking with Gareth Porter, an investigative historian, about an article recently from Truthdig about this Bolton's push for war, this never-ending push for war. It's like he kind of botched the Venezuela operation. Now he's shifting his attention elsewhere. But thank you very much for being with us.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay. Well, we've talked with Gareth Porter about Bolton and Iran, the drive for war. It's very interesting that, I mentioned that, Bolton's recent activity was centered on making war on Venezuela. And he actually, Bolton got support in that from, of all people, Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow went on, did her show, and she said something about, that Bolton, just a human being. She's sort of saying, what would you do if you were John Bolton and you had a, thought that we needed to go after Venezuela where your own president was not backing you up fully? And so, how do you feel about doing your job when you are being undercut? And she, I saw it online, and it was a weird experience. I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV, so I don't get to watch it. But of all people, Rachel Maddow was sticking up for John Bolton, mainly, I think, because he was going for war for some kind of action against Venezuela, regime change, and that this is opposed by Putin, who Rachel Maddow seems to have a very deep grudge against. But it just seemed like a real, I think politics in this country is getting crazier all the time, and that is just one example. But if we'd had Gareth Porter on for the rest of the show, I would have asked him about another article he wrote about the Mueller report, and which is very interesting. There's a lot of talk about impeaching Trump, get him out of the White House before he really does something bad. And I'm all for, whether impeachment is the best strategy, I don't know. I've heard argument about but if you want to impeach Trump, I say fine. There are so many things to impeach Donald Trump for, like just being all his crooked real estate deals and also his warmongering. You don't hear people saying, let's impeach Trump because he's going around playing the bully with the rest of the world. It's all focused on Russiagate, which seems to me that this is a real bad strategy, that if you try and impeach him for something as flimsy as this Russiagate business, I think it'll fail, and it might just ensure that Donald Trump gets reelected next year. But if people want to call in with their comment or question, the number is 503-231-8187. But there are several things that Gareth Porter found wrong with the Mueller report. And why don't we go into some of those right now? I have that article right here. One was the meeting in the Trump Tower, where Donald Trump and I'm not sure who else in the family operation was meeting with a Russian lawyer named Natalia Veselnitskaya and some other people. Supposedly they were going to bring some bad information about Hillary Clinton. Well, according to what we know, that's not why that woman was there at all. A lot of the information we think we know about this was brought out, was conveyed by a publicist named Rob Goldstone, who is fronting for some musical performer and some he has his separate business, and he was saying that Veselnitskaya had some damaging information about Hillary Clinton. Turned out she didn't at all, but we have on the line, we have a caller. Good morning, caller. Jack is on the line.
Yeah, what's happening now, this attack on this oil tankers is just something. I really hope the left liberal progressives will start to figure things out. You know, they're still laboring, so many of them, unfortunately, are still laboring under the notion that the Bush regime, the Bush the dumber, you know, the 43 or whatever he was, lied to them about everything except 9/11. And hopefully they'll start to get a clue and figure out that most of the time there's a military action on the horizon, it's going to get ginned up with some kind of a false flag or some kind of a hoax or some baloney, and it'll get spun out in the media, and people simply will just buy it. They won't even ask what's really going on here. So I'm glad you're covering that, Porter's covering that, there are some other people, there's some people in the media that are looking into it. I appreciate that.
Well, it's kind of a never-ending story. I don't think Bolton is the kind of person who's going to give up very easily. He's in a position now where he's probably been wanting all his career of being the chief advisor on war matters to crazy president like Donald Trump. So
the moment has arrived. He really missed his moment. He wasn't around during Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Rider campaign and all that baloney, jokingly call it baloney, but we have to remember, and it's not in American history, almost nowhere. You have to dig to find it. 100,000 people in the Philippines were essentially murdered by Roosevelt's campaign, and he still championed as some kind of
That was under McKinley, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Was that under McKinley?
Was that
began under McKinley?
Probably it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the era of massive imperial expansion of the U.S. I mean, way beyond our borders. You know, in the wake of the Mexican-American War, just after the Civil War and at that era, and I don't know, people just, you know, the jingoism is just sells, I guess. Jingoism sells.
Well, it's very interesting. I was reading that the very first expansion was about 30 years before that, where the U.S. kind of took over some island off of Haiti because it was loaded with seagull poop, you know, which is very prized for fertilizer. But anyway, I think we've got another caller on the line. So
okay.
I think we have Stuart on the line. Good morning, Stuart.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, I wanted to say I heard somebody mention the other day about calling our congressmen and representatives on a regular basis to try to get them to respond to what the White House is up to and stuff. And I think that's a very good idea.
Well, I think so. I mean, we have here in Portland our... For most of us, Earl Blumenauer is our representative in Congress, and I think he's generally pretty good. And I think he will listen. And of course, in the Senate, we have Ron Wyden, but most of all, we have Jeff Merkley. It's always worthwhile emailing, writing, calling any one of those three. So.
Like if our votes don't make any difference, then maybe calling them does. You know,
they say that a signed letter is the best. I don't know, but that's something I've heard. That there's a lot of email campaigns going on, and they sort of get an automated.
I think somebody said that even calling them was even more effective.
Okay, could be. Yeah, most of the time you get some aid. You get some aid, and
exactly.
They pass the message on, but they keep track of all that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. I think Mike is on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, can you remind me, was it John Bolton that was in the administration of Bush the Lesser that was assigned to the UN to basically go there to disrupt and destroy the UN. And then he stayed in, even though everyone in the UN was telling him to resign. He held out until the very last day of the day when, if he stayed that long in the UN appointee, he would get a bonus of like $100,000, and then he got a check and then he left.
I don't know about that, but that's interesting. I know he was pushing for a war with Iraq in those days. That was one of his previous warmongering episodes.
Well, if it wasn't him, it was another appointee of the Republican Bush administration. Thank you.
Well, anyway, I think John Bolton is I think he's a very sick man. He's got this permanent grudge and teamed up with Mike Pompeo, who is kind of a belligerent and very ignorant man. And they're going around the world just sort of looking for a fight with anybody. They try to pick a fight with Venezuela, and that fell through. I think these two were so deluded about the situation in Venezuela that they really thought that somehow the Venezuelans would rise up against Maduro, but it never happened. And so, but rather than look inwardly and wonder why, they go after, now they're going after Iran, and there the situation in the Middle East is even more volatile, and because it's much more dangerous also, because there are a lot of, there are nuclear weapons, mainly owned by Israel, in that region. So John Bolton is really playing with fire. And as far as I can tell, you know, Donald Trump, I'm not sure where, Donald Trump is so unstable and unhinged that you say one thing one day and something else the next day. I did hear one time that he was John Bolton and talk him down from his rhetoric, but who knows? Who knows? I mean, John Bolton has got Donald Trump's ear at least part of the time. And where he wants to go with this, it's very, very ominous. So I think we're about wrapping up here. We were very lucky earlier in the show. We had Gareth Porter as our guest. He is an investigative historian, and you can read his articles in Truth Dig and other places. And every now and then I see him on TV on some show. Sometimes on RT, they have a show called Crosstalk, which is very interesting. But I want to thank everybody for listening and calling in, and I want to stay tuned for KBOO. This is your radio station. We are bringing you information, news, and information that you do not hear very much elsewhere on the radio dial. That's what we are here for, and you can be part of this enterprise yourself, not just by keeping us on air, but by coming down here and being part of the KBOO project, the KBOO revolution. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and stay tuned for Heather McCoy.
Cebu Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of Cebu in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about Cebu Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10 o'clock. Coming up on 11, it's Between the Covers. Host David Naiman talks to author Christina Rivera Garza about her new detective novel, The Taiga Syndrome. But coming up now, it's The Heather McCoy Show. Heather talks to Timothy Denevi, the author of Freak Kingdom, Hunter S. Thompson's manic 10-year crusade against American fascism. KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Covers. I'm David Naiman, your host. Today's guest is writer,
Heather McCoy Show.
Welcome to the Heather McCoy Show. Joining me on the